We're going to turn for our scripture reading this evening to Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. Mark, chapter 2. And we'll begin our reading down the chapter at verse 13. Let us consider God's Word. And he, that is Jesus, went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. We end this short scripture reading at that point, and we do desire and pray that the Holy Spirit would take up this word tonight and minister powerfully to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the great miracle worker. Many of us in this room can testify that it was only by His miraculous power that He saved us and changed us. Levi, or Matthew, as he is also called, was a publican, a tax collector for the Roman government. Now, the common people of that time thought no more of tax collectors then than we think of tax collectors today. They looked upon the tax collectors as dishonest, even as thieves, that were a part of a system of traitorous injustice. When Levi got up from that tax table that day to follow Jesus, it was final. His tax collecting days were over. It was a miracle. It was a life-changing event. It was death to greed, and it was death to financial security. And thenceforth, he would follow the poor, itinerant rabbi, Jesus Christ. The whole community was in shock when a well-to-do citizen experiences a total change and receives a completely new worldview. Many eyebrows are raised. And for a moment at least, the community's equilibrium was shaken. Strike while the iron is hot. That was Levi's method. Levi arranged a supper, which turned out to be something of a feast, with many gathered there at his home. Many of his old tax-collecting friends came to meet the rabbi, and we read here gladly that they also followed him. This is the rabbi, and the only rabbi, with life-changing power. Well, the smug, self-righteous Pharisees who had no admiration for Jesus Christ were on hand at least to see how Jesus would handle the matter. They were supremely satisfied to see the one whom they feared was holier than themselves, to see him ceremoniously defiled in their eyes. He was doing the unthinkable. He was associating with sinners. and even with unpatriotic tax collectors. Rabbi Jesus Christ was obviously no friend of the chosen people in the eyes of the Pharisees. Mockingly, they dared not confront him to his face, but they subtly asked the disciples the question that's recorded here in verse 16. How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Jesus, the all-knowing, overheard them. And he said, he spoke to them in this 17th verse, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. As we prepare for communion this evening, let us find ourselves here in verse 17. I believe if we look carefully, we can find ourselves in verse 17. And then let us quickly flee to Him who is the remedy for our situation. I want us to notice, first of all, that Christ declares sin to be something very loathsome. You see what He says there in verse 17? They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. The Lord Jesus Christ calls sin a sickness here. Of course, we know that sin is much more than a sickness. But let us go with Jesus' description and examine our naturally woeful condition. Sin is a disease. Sin is called a plague elsewhere in Scripture. It is hereditary. It passes from one generation to the next. As David said, in sin we're conceived. We got sin through our parents' blood, and we give it to our children from our blood. We pass it on. Sin is not only a hereditary sickness, it is a disabling disease. It cripples us so that we cannot walk on the upward way in righteous paths. Sin is not only disabling, sin is deforming as a disease. It deforms our limbs and it retards our natural abilities so that we are turned out of the way into crooked paths. Sin is so filthy and polluting that it infects others as its poisonous venom flows from us. So much putrid corruption is in us naturally that we tend to share it with others. We are so unclean that we spread more and more deadly viruses to others from our own sinful rottenness. We do share it with others, so sadly. The disease of sin is incurably fatal. There is no merely human doctor that can devise or discover a cure for this. The wages of sin is death. And now for thousands of years, the contagion of sin continues as it has for the past, filling cemeteries all over the globe and mass graves. No mere human has been able to stop the devastating wages of sin. Not until the Lord Jesus Christ stepped into this dying world. He is the true physician of souls. Do you notice there in verse 17? He said, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He is the true physician of souls. He is the only remedy for sin. He went about doing good, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 9:35. On many occasions, He raised the dead after the disease of sin had already proven fatal. Our Savior at times just spoke the word and people were healed. At other times, He touched them and they were healed. And He even at times used simple substances like water and dust. But what is it that affects the permanent cure of sin? It is that of which we have been singing. It is only the precious blood of Jesus. Way back in Leviticus 17:11, the Lord told His people, it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And it is not any blood. It is not simply animal blood. It is not merely human blood. It is only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man Himself. The Scripture says of Him in Isaiah 53, with His stripes we are healed. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, the only remedy for sin is the physician's blood. The great physician heals the sick. It is His blood. So in order to heal us permanently, bestowing eternal life upon us, it took the death of the physician so that we could live. Thus, He removed from us the awful guilt and the penalty of sin by being made sin for us. This is our justification. And even now, in the lives of those of us who have come to Christ, who have been justified by faith, even now the great physician ministers to us by means of His Word and Spirit, delivering us more and more from the dominion and from the power of sin. This is our sanctification. But this is not all, thank God. There's more to come. The day is coming when every soul that rests upon Christ and upon His work alone for salvation, every one of those will be freed from the very temptations and the presence of sin. And this will be our glorification. Praise God for that. Praise God for the great physician. He has come so that we will see our need, our sickness. Do you understand your sickness? We come to the Lord's table tonight because we are aware of our need. We are aware of our sin and our corruption and our need for cleansing. And we confess our sin. And He cleanses us when we confess our sin to Him. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we went on thinking that we were well and whole, we would perish forever in our sin. And there were people standing around that day that thought that everything was okay with them. And they were looking down and despising those tax collectors and other sinners gathered around Jesus. Well, thank God that He has shown us that we are sinners. And we don't have to play the Pharisees' game and pretend that we are something that we're not. We can just fess up and be honest and face our sin. Praise God for showing us the loathsome sickness of sin. We know and we feel our need of Him. And praise God, Jesus came with an exclusive gospel for exclusive people. If you notice what Jesus said in verse 17, He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I didn't come to save good people, or I didn't come to save people who think they're good, but I came to save sinners. and to call sinners to repentance. We come to this table tonight to celebrate the remedy and to affectionately remember Him who is the remedy for our sin in His person, in His work, in His blood shedding for us. We find all of our need for cleansing from this loathsome disease in Him. Let us pray together. O God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou hast given Christ for us. Lord, it is so simple and so easy for us to say. But, oh God, how Thou hast reached from the vastness of eternity, giving Thy Son into this little tiny speck of a planet for worthless, corrupt worms like we are by nature. And Lord, we thank Thee for opening the eyes of our understanding to see that we are not worthy of Thee. We are not worthy of Thy salvation. We are not worthy of forgiveness. We are not worthy even to partake of the supper. But Lord, we praise Thee that Thou hast not called the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we come to remember our Savior in our sinnership, knowing that we need Thee. We need Thee continually. We need communion with Thee. We need fellowship with Thee every day. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless this time around Thy table, around Thy word, around Thy throne. We pray in Jesus' all-prevailing name. Amen.